Thanks very much, Su Ying, and thank you, Alice, for praying. And thank you for being with us today. We're going to do something slightly different. We're going to do a topical thing. We usually go through books of the Bible, parts of the Bible, but today we're going to address this topic of low birth rate. It's the issues facing Hong Kong. Let's pray that God will speak to us this morning through it. Lord, we thank you that you're speaking, God. We thank you that you are with us, and we thank you that you are concerned about the things that are going on in Hong Kong. Help us to think Christianly, theologically, with you at the center of our minds, and may we live lives that are pleasing to you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple of years ago, Elon Musk tweeted this in August 22. That the population collapse due to low birth rate is a bigger risk to civilization than climate change, he wrote. As you can see in the New York Times graph, if the birth rate goes the way that it does, it will peak soon, and it will come collapsing. It will crashing down soon as well, and some countries will face existential crisis. There are 1.4 billion people in China today. 1.4 billion. It'll go down in the best case scenario to 800, or worst case scenario, 500 million by end of the century. Japan, with 125 million, will go down to 88 million. My country of birth, Korea, will go from 51 million to 26 million. Now, there are all sorts of reasons why countries are worried about the population decline. There will be a massive labor shortage. There will be the social security system, the welfare system might collapse. And the geopolitical powers, there will be massive shifts in that, and with all the collateral damage that might bring about. And, of course, countries are worried about where they would be in terms of geopolitical powers. And I am not concerned about who will be the dominant power in the world, but I am concerned about how Christianly we think about these things. Whether we have God at the center as we think about family and children and what it means to be God's people. You know, this sounds kind of like a sermon that's addressed just for the married couples, but this is not true. What I hope you'll see is that this is really about what it means to be God's people, what it means to be a people of God, people who hope in God, people who support one another in the mission, common mission, that God has given us together to the church. And so I'll address the three things. One, why we're not having children. And two, what the Bible says about children, why we should have them, or what it means to have them. And thirdly, what the church has to do about all these different things. Last October, our chief executive, John Lee, had a policy address. There, he pointed to this number, 0.9 TFR. The total fertility rate in Hong Kong is 0.9, which means that in a lifetime, each woman in Hong Kong is having 0.9 children. We need to have 2.2 children in order to sustain the population, for the population to remain stable. 0.9 is really low. It's one of the lowest in the world. And he offered a solution. He said that there will be $20,000 for every child born in Hong Kong, to a resident in Hong Kong. In a story in RTHK, the day after this policy announcement, there was a quote by a woman who said, "You know, this honestly is not that helpful." Well, why are people having fewer children? It's not just in Hong Kong, around the world. I mean, you remember, you aunties and uncles, the generation before mine had seven, eight, many, many children. But now, people are not having children around the world. I've done some research on this, but I'm sure you know all the reasons. I'm sure it comes instinctively to you. One of the biggest reasons is this, that women have entered the workforce, but their home life has not changed very much. You know, women are going out there working just as men as before, but still women are doing the majority of the domestic work, housework at home. So juggling work and raising children have been very difficult. And so the result has been shrinking number of children in at home. Not only that, some women, you know, found actually real joy and fulfillment in the workplace. And they want to be part of that. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to just unequivocally say that this is a good thing that women are using their gifts and talents outside of home, contributing to the society and to the world and to the work of God's kingdom as well. But we do need to still pay attention to what God says about family, what God says about children, and what we need to be listening to Him, and that's what we're doing today. Another reason why people are choosing not to have children is the pessimism they feel around the world. This is comedian Seth Rogen. He put it like this: "The world is burning," he says. "The world is burning." You know, he says he's afraid when if he has kids, that his children will Google the day that they were conceived and then ask him, "Why did you bring me into this world?" He says it actually in a much bad way. "But why did you bring me into this world?" they might say in Korea. The intense pressure from school, the insane amount of money that they need to have to educate the children or have adequate housing, all that contribute to this pessimism, and people think it's evil, not just not good, but evil to bring children into this world. And if you feel that the world is burning, well, you're not going to bring children into the world, are you? But I think the biggest reason why the fertility rate has gone down is the rise of individualism. Individualism. Professor Carl Truman wrote a book called Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, and you can read the arguments there and how we become more and more increasingly individualistic. Before, he argues that people found meaning outside of themselves. They found meaning in the community, in the religion, in the nation, in the people around them. And they conformed to the expectations or meaning that was outside. They conformed to what the expectations were. But in our modern intuition, we don't do that anymore. We need to judge everything by ourselves, right? If there is any meaning, it's not out there. Meaning is something that is now created by us inside. We need to interpret the world. I need to find what is meaningful for myself. So if you think about all the mantra of this age, it is follow your dreams. You know, do what makes you happy. Look out for number one. What is meaningful is what I, next slide please, what I want it to be. And if we're honest, being a parent is really hard. There have been lots of studies that show this. There have been studies that show that your happiness goes down by 5 to 6 points in comparison to your to your childless peers. It's really hard to have children and to raise them. It is a hard thing. Now, of course, this does change over time as the children grow into different stages of life. This does change, but if I determine everything and I am the most important person and my happiness is the most important thing for me, then of course, you can understand why people choose to have a dog instead of a child. Well, maybe it's obvious to you why people are not having children. There are other reasons. But then you might be asking yourself, why should I have a child at all? Why should I have children at all? Friends, let me tell you the Bible's vision of it. Because in the Bible's vision, procreation and having children is at the center, is at the very beginning of the Bible's story. It starts in the very beginning. Remember, after God created Adam and Eve, the command is be fruitful. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it and rule over everything in this world. God created human beings in His image. And he created us as his representatives, that he might have a people who would rule over the world on his behalf, as his representatives. Now notice the thing here. We don't have children according to this vision, so that I might be fulfilled as a mom or dad. Right, because this is often, having children is often sort of an emotional emotional decision, isn't it? We say, I want to be a dad, or I want to be a mom, so I want to have children. Or it's a practical one. We say, I can only afford to have two or three children, and so this is what I'm going to do. But here, this is not about me. It's not even about my legacy to continue. It's about God. It's about God's kingdom. It's about ruling over the created things on his behalf in the way that he would. We have children in the service of God. That was the design from the very beginning. And this is why in this fallen world, it's not just important to have children, but to disciple them as his people. So God delivered Israelites out of Egypt, gave them the Ten Commandments, and then brought them out. And he says, you obey them so that you and your children and their children after that, they may fear the Lord your God as long as you live. He's not just concerned for you. He's concerned for the generations that will come after. You know, and he's told us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And then teach your children, impress upon them, verse 7. Tell them, disciple them. Tell them about who their God is, how to live in light of that relationship, how to be a light to the world as his people. His concern is that he would have a people throughout the generations in the world who know him, who know his grace and love, and will bring praise and glory and his righteous rule over the world. It is not for us. It is for God that we are to have children. But let me pause here and address those who might find this topic just painful, difficult, because there are couples who are married who want to have children but cannot. Perhaps there are serious genetic issues or even mental illness or infertility issues. You know, since Genesis chapter 3, the fall of mankind, procreation, the birth was difficult. It's laden with pain. And not only that, both men and women are expelled from the Garden of Eden. Everything in this world is not the way it's supposed to be, including having children. And if this is you, or you know of people like this around you, please know that God knows your pain. There are many, many people that God heard their prayers and he was walking alongside. Many people who wanted children but could not. Abram's wife Sarah, or Rebecca and Rachel and Hannah, Elizabeth, they all longed to have children but couldn't on their own. And God was walking with them. God knew their pain. God heard their cries, and occasionally God would do miraculous provision for them. There are also single people who want to be married and have kids but cannot or have not for many different reasons. You know, in these days, there are those who take the matter into their own hands. It seems Mary actually has a friend who is a single person but really wanted kids. And so through in vitro fertilization, she actually just got pregnant and had kids herself. Now, I want to say, friends, children are a blessing, but they're not a right. We don't have a right to them. And I just want to say that they are usually given to married couples who are committed to raising them as gods. But let me point out the fact, and under the new covenant, in the new covenant, singleness is not a curse. Remember, Jesus was a single person. Paul was a single person. He actually says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that he wants everyone to be like him. And the reason is because he wants them to be devoted to God's work. Because under the new covenant, there is another way to have children. It's not just through procreation, it's through evangelism. It's through telling the story of Jesus, and when people hear it, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, when their eyes are open, they're born again, they become God's children. And so Paul calls himself in his letter to Thessalonica, father. He refers to himself as a father, as a mother, to the church in Thessalonica, because these are his spiritual children. When he's writing to Timothy, in 1 Timothy, he calls Timothy his spiritual son. We can be devoted to making God's children through, even in our singleness, at every age, we can devote ourselves to God's kingdom in this way. So it's not that making children or procreation is not important anymore, but under the new covenant, there is this other way. But my point in this is this. If you are married, married couples, we are to consider having children and discipling them for the service of God and His kingdom. And if you are single, you are also to devote yourselves in making spiritual children. We can devote ourselves in making and discipling spiritual children, because all of our life, whether we're single or whether we're married, should be devoted to God and His kingdom and His mission. Whatever we do, we are to live for Him. Now, I know that when I say all of this, either you might, in your mind, you go, you know, Hugh, but it's really hard. In Hong Kong, especially, it's really hard to have kids. And I know there is the problem of space and the intense pressure that kids face, logistical problems, all sorts of things. You know, people say it takes a village to raise a child. We live in apartments where we don't even know the names of our neighbors. Where is the village? Well, I want to say, if we are a Christian, and if we have the right vision of what the church is, the church, our common faith in God, and this community should enable us, make us capable of having children and raising them. We are not to live as isolated nuclear families, but we are to live as the church. And because first, we should be able to find practical help in the church. I don't know if this resonates with you, but it seems to me that around the world and in Hong Kong as well, the goal of why people live and make money is to be independent from everybody else, to not need other people in my life, to just be self-contained. That seems to be the goal, independence. Church, instead of striving to be independent of everyone else, let's strive to be interdependent. Let's strive to be a community that can actually depend on one another, because that is the goal in the Bible. Paul commanded the Galatian church, Galatians 6, to carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Law of Christ, to love one another. We fulfill the law of Christ not by feeling warmly towards each other, but when we carry one another's burdens, when we offer practical help, when you become a burden to me and I to you. That is the goal. I mean, if you think about the Trinity, that is the goal as well, right? Trinity is not independent beings living, independent persons living on their own. They're interdependent being acting as one unit. That's what we are to be, interdependent people, as God's people. I know it's hard. You know, Reverend John Stott, he was a very capable man who did great ministry around the world, but towards the end of his life, he struggled because he had to depend on other people. In his frailty, in his old age, he found even just sort of going to the bathroom or cleaning himself all very difficult. But as he thought more and more about that, in his last book called Radical Discipleship, he writes this: we are all designed to be a burden to others. You are designed to be a burden to me, and I'm designed to be a burden to you. And the life of the family, including the life of the local church family, should be one of mutual burdensomeness. We are designed to be of mutual burdensomeness. Church, can we look out for one another? You know, this doesn't apply just for the young families sitting back there. This is for all of us. Let's look out for one another. Let's offer help for one another. The people who are struggling, whether it's in raising young kids or whatever, let's offer our help. And if you're a young family, could I ask you to reach out? You know, get the single people and the retired people and other people into your life, because they will be able to help you to raise the kids, not just practically, but also spiritually, by being their spiritual fathers and mothers and uncles and aunties. Let's be interdependent people. You know, Mary and I are hugely helped by some people who help us in this way. You know, people often ask us why we haven't had helpers, why we haven't hired a helper when it's so difficult to raise kids. Well, it's precisely for this reason. Actually, we want to be a burden to you. We want to be loved by you. We want to be cared for by you. Because when we do, community forms, love forms, people who are closest to us are people who help us. This is just the way that it is, and we are to be a community of mutual burdensomeness. Let's not strive to not need other people. Let's strive to be interdependent people. And secondly, church can also combat, I think, the pessimism that is around the world. Seth Rogen thinks that the world is burning. Christians, well, we aren't to ignore the problems of this world. We're not to ignore the climate change or all the issues that Hong Kong is facing. We're not to turn our blind eye, but as church, we also know who runs the world. You know, we know a God who loves us and became a human being, who died for us, who defeated sin and death and rose again triumphantly, who is seated at the right hand of God, who's ruling over the world. We know that God is the ruler of the world. You know, when we have children, we're not saying our children will somehow change the world. No, children are a sign of hope in God, that God is on the throne, that we are His people, that we are His church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So we have children. We heed the call to be signs of hope for God, for this world. We hope in Him. And finally, knowing Jesus should counter the individualism and the materialism that is so ingrained in our culture and that prevent us from having children. Now, I've quoted you the study that says on average people become unhappy when they have kids. Well, you know, Jesus never said that our happiness should be our number one goal, did He? When Jesus called each of us, He said, "Pick up your cross and follow me." This is a call to deny ourselves for the sake of His kingdom, for Him. To find ourselves, we need to lose ourselves in Him. That is the call. And if we live like this, and if we live for Him, we become a people who are able to sacrifice, who are able to put others in front of ourselves. That's what the call is. And if we live in this way, we are able to sacrifice ourselves for not just our spouses, but for our children. You know, we don't love our spouses and our children because we always find them lovely, right? We love them because God first loved us. And we sacrifice. We can make those sacrifices because God first sacrificed for us. And the gospel also should combat the materialism that is so ingrained in us. You know, how many parents live in the tyranny of the best? We feel that we have to provide the best of everything. Best food, best clothes, best education, kindergarten all the way to university, best vacations for our children. Actually, if you have fewer children, more pressure you feel to provide what is the best for our children. Well, Jesus told us to store up treasures in heaven. He promised us that what we really need, all that we really need, is Him, Jesus. Church, we do not need to provide the best for our children. We do not. We do not need to keep up with all our neighbors. We don't need to. God does not consider us great parents if we provide all the best things for our children. No, God considers us great parents if we love them like He would, and if we teach them His way so that they may be pointed to the greatness of our Lord Jesus. That's what our role as parents and as the church are. There's a pastor called Kevin DeYoung, many of you know. He's written many books. He's got 9 kids. 9 kids. You know, he says he never eats out. His family never eats out of home. He says it's a blessing for other people not to have all the people in the restaurant. They can never go on a vacation. International vacation is just out of the question. 11 people, how do you pay for 11 people? And yet, these parents love their children. And most importantly, they teach their children to fear and love our Lord Jesus. And if these children grow up loving Jesus, they will have everything that they need in this world, everything. And they will have the best in the rest of eternity. They will have the best of the world to come. Not all of us are called to poverty, we all should adjust our expectations. We should teach our children to live with less, that true contentment is found in Jesus, and we can afford to have more children if we're willing to lower our own expectations. I don't want you to hear me wrongly. I don't think Christians should have as many kids as possible. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not against family planning, but I am against family unplanning. Married couples should be open to receiving the gift of children and rejoice in the responsibility of raising little disciples who will come to know and love Jesus and praise Him throughout the generations. And I hope you've also seen that this isn't just about married couples. This is a vision of what the church should be, what the common mission is, and how we can support one another in that mission so that God will be praised throughout the generations. You know, recently, I saw on Instagram, one of my friends had a triplet. 3 kids. And immediately the first thought that came to my mind was, oh my, this is really difficult. And in my mind, I thought, maybe they've done something wrong and God doesn't like them. But what a horrible thought. This is Psalm 127. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from Him. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. May we never consider what God calls a blessing a curse. May God bless Sha Tin Church with great many children who will come to know and love and praise God throughout their lives and their future generations. And may the generations be praised. May the generations praise our great God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for our parents who taught us to love You. We thank You for the many children here. Lord, give us wisdom in how to point them to our great God, to You. And Lord, we pray that would you make us a kind of a community that can love one another, that can carry one another's burdens, that can free one another from the shackles of the idolatry that so grip our hearts, and help us to be a people who live for you and for your glory. In our singleness, in our marriedness, in all of our life, may we live for you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.